Hello and welcome to the Hiring Enablement Podcast. My name is Gavin Spears, CEO of Solutions Driven, a global recruiting partner that guarantees right first-time hiring. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the world of remote working and the key learnings from working in this way. And I'm delighted to be joined by Michal Peleg, who is the head of people at Tyke. Michal, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Gavin, for having me. I appreciate it. Just a bit of background. Tyke is really the first business I've ever worked for that is fully remote from day one. So we do have offices, but they are not maybe like three people go there every now and then.
Yeah.
And it was really out of necessity. Our founders were in different areas of the world with young families and decided that's going to be the best way to move forward. And it turned out all right.
It's excellent. Super. Lovely to have you and looking forward to the chatting today. I mean, as I said at the start, you know, today is really around some key learnings, you know, from that fully remote workforce. And maybe the first area I'd like to focus on is, in your experience, how do you think HR or people leaders can measure the impact of remote work on employee performance as well as well-being?
Well, I think really the same tools still apply when you're remote or not remote or in the office. So you can still do engagement surveys. If you're looking for data measurable that you can present as numbers, so you can still look at engagement surveys. You can still do, you can still check absence rates. And the company, people log in when they're sick. They can log it themselves on the system. And the one that's a bit more complicated and then maybe a bit more difficult to measure, like a survey, is things around productivity, is how productive are you when you're at home versus in an office, where some people thrive and work a lot better when they can just have their space alone in a room to think of different crazy ideas or innovate something that's maybe not the usual thing, or maybe when they don't have like some pressure to do something in a team, they can think a bit outside the box. And but that one is a little bit difficult to measure, because you'd have to measure what it's like in the office and then what it's like outside the office, right? But I can tell you, like, for myself and a lot of other team members, I find that I'm way more productive when I'm not in an office.
Yeah.
Then you have the stuff that are distracting, because there is a social conforming side of things where you have to do small talk, which is, you know, I'm saying it, it sounds like I don't want to, right? But sometimes these things take a lot of your day when actually you could be more productive at work. So I feel like it's a bit controversial, but there's nothing wrong with being introverted and just wanting to do your job. That's also a really great thing to do.
What about well-being? So how do you, I guess, measure the impact of that when you're a fully remote workforce?
So if you want to look at the data side of things, you look at you could look at absence rates and stuff like that. See that we also have an employee assistance program called Plum that we use, and it's got therapists 24/7 in different languages, fully accessible to everyone. So we check the usage rates of that as well. And there's about 60% usage, and that's like chat and, as I said, therapists. And there are videos you could watch about pretty much any subject that's close to your heart, and it doesn't have to be like work related. It can also be stuff that you're going through in your personal life, because that eventually that's who you are at work, right? The same person. So so there's also that we use. I would say these two things is to check on absence rates and also usage rates of these kind of platforms that people make use of.
It's excellent. I mean, I think, you know, if you go back to the start of COVID, many organizations had to, you know, be more flexible when it came to remote working. And now we can see across not only our own clients, but across different companies, they're starting to kind of slightly pull that back a little bit, try and get some hybrid, you know, try and get some balance. I guess, you know, in your experience, again, how do you think organizations can really give, but also display that real trust in remote working? Because I know there are some companies that may not say it's for a trust reason, but then also struggle to really see how productive people are or how engaged they are, etc. So how do you get that trust balance?
It's a difficult one, because I would say if you think that your employees don't perform when you're not in the room, then maybe it's the wrong hire.
Yeah.
To say it. Because our founders always said, like, you can measure the culture of the company if the boss is not in the room. Like, how people act when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
That's the culture of the company. So I would say if you constantly think about it, then maybe the people are not the right people, because you should be able to trust them that they care as much as you do almost about the business. And it's interesting that you say trust, because I recently ran a presentation at TIG about how to give feedback to one another in like a radical candor type of way. And we were talking about what happens when you don't have trust. That led me to try and break down what trust is within the business. So I've done a bit of research, and I came up with a triangle of trust that was created by a lady, a professor in Harvard University. And she believed that the trust encompasses three areas. So one would be logic. So basically there are three areas: logic, authenticity, and empathy. So if one is got a bit of a breakdown, there will be breakdown in trust.
Yep.
So if you've got logic, so what I'm saying to you makes sense, and how clear I'm communicating it to you also is clear enough, then logic is there. If there's like a manager team member relationship, if I feel like that my manager is a different, totally different person to who they are at work and in their real life, I don't think you're authentic. So there's also like a little bit of a breakdown in trust, because I don't know who you really are.
Yeah.
And then there is empathy, which is showing that you care. Like, like if you say like, oh, my kids are not well today, like, oh, really? Yeah, that's, you know, really show if employees feel better when they know that you're invested in their joys and sufferings, and that you understand them and care about them. And if there's a breakdown in that, so that sometimes happens when you have a manager that's too busy to do one-to-one meetings. They're too busy. You don't want to bother them because they're too busy and they might be short with you. That creates actually slowly a breakdown in trust. So you can, if you can have these three areas really well mapped out in your peer-to-peer relationships, you can have stronger trust relationships. But really, it should start from the top of the business. The people who create the business should lecture that to everyone else, that we have trust between us. That's one of the values almost.
Excellent. I really like that, the triangle of trust. That's excellent. And one area I know many companies have struggled with, and I even put ourselves into this category. I mean, we are primarily remote first now. You know, we do some hybrid, but remote is certainly, you know, the main way of working. But when we have onboarded new people, or we've hired people that are, let's say, new to recruitment or don't have as much experience as some of their team members, how do you effectively, you know, identify and nurture, you know, that talent in the organization to make sure they're getting the support they need in that remote environment?
Got it. So when you're in a remote business, you've got to think that everything that you have has to be documented. So their onboarding into the business has to be successful and really, really well prepared for them. So we customize the onboarding. We have a general onboarding kind of board for everyone to go through. You have to read all these things, and you have to do one-to-ones with your manager. We guide the manager on how to build one-to-ones if they are like relatively new with their managerial job. If it's a specific team, they have to like go through specific systems and stuff like that. So we do a really tailored onboarding. But on top of that, there's the you can still do succession planning when you're in a remote business. We do management training. We have companies that do all of that through Zoom for us. It's very interactive as well. So we do management training. Recently, we did a learning needs analysis and the organization. So really, just to be proactive on the learning and development budget that we've got, and What areas do people need? And we make sure that people have their regular one-to-ones as well as performance reviews. So we know what areas are kind of a bit missing or need building on. So it's really, really similar to what the way you would do it. It's the only thing that you don't have is like that face-to-face element, but you can still do all of that in a remote setup.
Excellent. What about in your experience again, you know, what would you say are the top three challenges that HR or people leaders should think about or even anticipate, you know, when they're managing that hybrid remote, you know, workforce, I guess?
Yeah. So I would say communications is the biggest one, because everything turns into writing, right? So tone of voice is a really tricky one to get right when you're in a written communication all the time.
Yep.
So you've got to think about what ways are best to communicate your message. So if you're giving someone feedback, you've got to be, you know, quite a bit of self-awareness. So if you need to give someone feedback, putting it in writing in a message on Slack might not be the right way to do it. Yep. If you need to give someone information, knowledge sharing is really important. So it almost needs to be tailored for what you're doing, but that would be the biggest challenge. So understanding, we almost have like a guide on communication type. Mm-hmm. So because some people prefer, you know, just not to have a meeting unless it's absolutely necessary, like it's that's their style, and some people really prefer to be face to as much as possible face to face with someone. So we have like a communication guidance at Tyc because of that, just to make sure that people know how to communicate. So communication is a big one. And the other one is feeling there is a culture. So it's something that it comes to life really when we do a company retreat once a year. So we have once a year, we do get together. We had one quite recently in Greece. So with the company flies everyone into a location, and we have lots of workshops and sessions, and it's amazing. And to feel that culture in a remote setup is a little bit different, because you could feel a bit disconnected.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge, and the best ways to do it is to do a little bit of face to face and like as much as possible Zoom calls and stuff like that. And the last one I think is kind of builds on that, is that to build a rapport with people. So that all comes into communication, right? So just to have that close relationship with someone at work sometimes is easier when it's face to face. But also there are challenges sometimes when it's face to face. So pluses and minuses.
Yeah, it's excellent. And maybe again, you know, would you be able to share even one kind of bit of either a tip or a bit of advice, you know, to HR leaders who are, you know, trying to get that work-life balance focus, trying to make sure that remote working employees aren't, you know, feeling overworked or disconnected. Any practical tips you could share?
Yes. Be really, really proactive about it. And when I say proactive, it's set an example yourself. It's not just to say to people, hey, you should work a bit more from home. Like, no, you do it as well. You do it as well. And make sure that the founders are doing it, the leadership team are doing it, and they're talking about it. So it's not a taboo because nobody else is saying it, but we're told, no, this needs to be like a regular thing. The founders are talking about it. They're doing it. They're celebrating it. It needs to be like, hey, I managed to do all of this while working from home. How amazing is that? Thank you for the company that's allowing me to do that. I managed to do this amazing presentation because I had a bit of peace and quiet, you know, these things need to be celebrated. Or maybe it's sometimes I needed some downtime and I was able to do a really good job the day after because I just needed a break from work and the company allowed me to do that. Like, how amazing is that? Yeah. So that's the one thing that I would say HR teams really need to do to kind of celebrate that and set an example.
It's excellent. And then the last piece for me in closing, you know, maybe just picking up on that, but generally, you know, if to other people leaders or TA leaders who are listening to the podcast, what would be your biggest learning or advice throughout your career that you would like to share?
I would say that there are a lot of frameworks and there are a lot of processes out there that you can use, but it's not a one size fits all. Like, it's not, you have to evaluate the organization and the culture the way that it is and see not to force a career framework or some other framework that doesn't work just because that's the standard in the industry. Like, nobody cares if it's not working. So sometimes you have to think outside the box. And if you're lucky enough, you work for a company that allows you to go, let's try this crazy idea and see if it works. And ask people, do you think that's going to be the right thing? Like, just try to think outside the box and hear the messages. If people don't like doing something and they're not doing it, it's not about being HR police and telling them, no, they're not doing it because something is not intuitive. Maybe they need something else. Maybe that you love. So it's really hearing the messages behind what people are saying by not doing things or doing things in a certain way and trying to work a way around it. So I would say try and use the frameworks and processes that you know, but don't be afraid to break them up a little bit and doing something a little bit different that might be something innovative and super cool that you'll be proud of for the rest of your HR career.
Excellent. Super. Really, really interesting, Mikael. I mean, I think, you know, a great success story in Tyke, you know, an example of where remote working could really work, and also some really good insights for others who are maybe finding that difficulty of getting, you know, the balance between remote, hybrid, etc. And also love the triangle of trust. I'm certainly going to use that one in future. So I guess to close, thank you so much for your time, Mikael. Really appreciate it. And also thanks to the listeners. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any feedback on any other subjects that you would like us to discuss, please do let me know. And finally, thanks again, Mikael. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
No problem. Take care.